We're going to continue talking today about the inner man and outward man, and looking at the model that Paul uses for us to see ourselves. We'll start here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inner man is being renewed day by day. So this is a model that Paul uses to explain who we are. And as you begin to learn more about who you are in Christ, let me tell you, you begin to see things differently. Your whole Christianity, the way you view your relationship with God, the way you view how to serve God, all changes when you get in the proper model. Now, most of the church uses the model, I am a spirit, I have a soul, I live in a body. But we've shown in earlier service that that's talking about us in the end times, at the end of all things, when we're complete. But now you're not complete. Now you're in a process, you're in a battle. And Paul's very clear with this model that you have an inward man and an outward man. Why it's so important that you learn this is because when you see this model in as I'm teaching it, it is the key to interpreting all of Paul's letters. You will begin to understand so much more of Paul's letters, especially because all of his teachings are within this model of inner man and outward man. And so we are going slow. We are going in detail. This is a detailed series for the nerdy Christians or the geeky Christians. I'm not telling you you're nerdy, but you got to be a little nerdy to want to learn these details. But once you get this in you, you're going to be smarter than most preachers. So it's worth it to learn it. Now, today we're continuing talking about the new nature. We've talked about how the new nature is the smallest part of you. It's a tiny little part of you that generates righteousness in you. It's the seed with the image of Christ in you. And there's many words for the new nature and the old nature. The old nature is what you're birthed with when you were born of Adam. You were born with a nature of sin, a nature of darkness. And before you were saved, you had a nature. And some of the words for the nature that are used in Scripture, old nature, flesh, unrighteousness, body of sin, old man, darkness, death, spirit of this world, spirit of darkness, spirit of man. These are all words used to describe the nature of sin that every person born in this world has. Then when you accepted Christ, I used to think I had a little Jesus living in me with a little kitchen and a bedroom. I don't think he ever slept, but he had a little bedroom in there. That was how I imagined it. And he ran around inside my heart and when I got Jesus in my heart. But it's really referring to the nature of Christ that he was resurrected from death to life with. He gave that same nature to you, not the same personal nature, but the same nature. I heard a joke that said, what can a female elephant produce that no other animal can produce in the world? And it's a simple, it's, I knew the answer right away, but the person answering it didn't know the answer. They said milk, they said trunk, you know, tusks. And no, other animals have those things, but the only thing a female elephant can produce that no other animal can produce in the world is a baby elephant. Same thing, the only thing a female dog can produce that no other animal can produce is a little puppy dog or a cat. See, every animal produces after its own kind. That's where God had to deal with the human race. We came after the kind of Adam, of the humankind, and God could not fix the humankind because Adam had ruined it with his sin. But he created a new family, a new kind, called the children of God, where you're born out of the family of Adam and born into the kingdom of God. So when you got saved, it wasn't that you signed up for the gym, made a gym membership. and you signed up for a church membership. It was a reborning again. You were rebirthed from the family of Adam into the family of God. And by how he did that was he gave you a new nature. He took the nature of Adam. He quickened it in a moment and turned it from darkness to light, from sin to righteousness. And now you are righteous because you have that new nature. That new nature also brought to life your inner body, the inner man. That's what Paul says. We have an outward man and an inward man. The inner man is being renewed, meaning we have to renew it in knowledge, build up the knowledge of Christ in the inner man, because that's where the knowledge of Christ can be understood. And so as you learn these things during this series, it's going to change everything, the way you view things. You won't be so easily talking into things, you know. And so the new nature, here's some wording for the new nature in Scripture. The new nature, the seed, love, righteousness, Christ in me, life, light, Spirit of God, candle, treasure, quickening spirit, image of him, same image, armor of light. These are all nicknames for the new nature. And today we're going to discuss the nickname of the new nature as the word spirit, because it uses the word spirit as a nickname for the new nature. For the old nature, we'll compare it to the word flesh. Okay, the one word for one nickname for the old nature of sin is flesh. And there is a lot of confusion. These are English words trying to describe Greek words. And those words are used for other things too. So it's important that you learn how to interpret the scripture in English to know what is he talking about. I'll explain. So the word spirit in English, in your English Bible, I use the New King James. It's close, really close to the King James without the these and the thous. But the English Bible is interpreted from the Greek and the Hebrew, and it is in the Aramaic versions, and so it's an interpretation. Somebody read it in Greek and decided this is the English word that goes with that Greek word. And most of the time they do good, but sometimes they don't get it right. And so if you don't get it right, you're not reading it correctly. The answer's in there. The Holy Spirit will teach you the truth, no matter really what Bible you're using. But the way you interpret it in your language, in the English language, would be to find it in context. So here's an example. The word spirit in the Bible can refer to the Holy Spirit, the new nature, the inner man. It can refer to an expression of emotions. They have a spirit of joy. So they have a joyful spirit. It's a place of emotions. And also can refer to a demonic spirit. And so if you just read the word spirit, you may put the wrong definition on it. And do you understand the Holy Spirit is completely different than your inner man? And the inner man is completely different than your new nature. But they all use the same nickname for spirit. So if you confuse them, you're going to make a mess and not understand the power within the scripture. So the word spirit can be defined in scripture as the Holy Spirit, as your new nature, as the inner man, an expression of emotion, or a demonic demon, a demonic spirit. And so you want to do your best to get it in context. In English, we can use the word house. If I said, hey, come to my house, you would say, okay, where's your house? And I say, well, it's over on the over here in Tulsa at a certain place. And but there's 100 houses here, Alan. Which one is it? So you need an adjective to go before the word house so you know which house to go knock on the door. You don't want to knock on a stranger's door because they'll probably call the police on you nowadays. And so you want to know, is it the big house, the little house, the third house, the white house, the blue house? What house are you talking about? You need an adjective to define the meaning, the singular. Another word we use is, in English, is pot. If my wife said, Alan, go get me some pot. I need a pot. And go to the store and get me a pot. Well, I've learned now to stop and say, okay, I need you to write down exactly what you want so I can go get it. You know, there's many stories of us men going shopping for our wives and coming back with all the wrong things. So we want to make sure we get the right thing. So, Christy, I'm happy to go to the store, but what store? How much am I going to pay? Write down exactly what brand, what type, how much? Because we're famous as men coming back with all the wrong things, or too much of the wrong things, or misinterpreting what our wives say. Well, you can do the same thing with Scripture. You can misinterpret the Scripture because you didn't get the description right. You know, so if my wife said, I need a pot. Go to the store and get me a pot. Well, I'll be gone for an hour, come back proudly with a bunch of pots and pans from the cooking store. And she'd get mad at me. No, I didn't mean the cooking pot. I meant a pot to grow our plants in, a flower pot. Go back to the other store and get me a flower pot. Okay, what size do you want? What color do you want? Write it down for me so I will know. Well, that is being a good husband, a smart husband. And can I have a description, please, so I know what I'm doing so I don't fail? Well, be a smart child of God and get the description right so you know what's being taught to you. In America now, you can get another kind of pot, the marijuana pot that you can smoke. And so there's different rules for the word pot. If you give me a instruction, you know, Alan, will you put the soup in the pot and turn it on the stove? Okay, honey. And all of a sudden there's smoke coming out and there's soup all over the floor. And I use the flower pot. I poured the soup in the flower pot's got those little holes on the bottom, and all the soup drained out, and the stove melted the flower pot and began to smoke, and the fire started. Well, that's me using the wrong pot to make soup. Well, this happens all the time with Scripture, with this simple word, Spirit. People are preachers who don't know any better are confusing things, which adds confusion to Christians. And really, they're making a mess in the kitchen of the gospel because they're throwing around words and they haven't taken the time to learn. And the answer to learning about this is really, from Paul's writing, is to understand that I have an inner man and an outward man, and what that means to me. The outward man is perishing. The inner man is being renewed day by day. So, the word Spirit, we're going to focus on that, and we're going to use it as a comparison with the word flesh. The word flesh can mean the nature of sin. Okay, that's a little tiny nature. It's tiny nature produces sin. That's the nature. That's the word flesh. It's used a lot to describe the nature. But it also can mean the soul, the mind, will, and emotions of the outward man. That's another terminology for flesh. The body is a body, but it contains a flesh, a natural, carnal mind, will, and emotions that has appetites and desires, deeds and plans and passions that we're supposed to mortify and resist and deny. So the word flesh can also mean the part of the outward man that desires things. I would term it as the soul of the outward man. The word flesh can also mean a place of emotion that I fleshed out. I was going for a walk and this guy ran in front of me and I fleshed out. I got mad at him. So it can also mean that. So you want to get the right word in the right place. And the way we normally do it in Scripture is first we look for the adjective like Holy Spirit. It's very clear. That's talking about God, the person of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it will have an adjective, a demonic spirit. So it helps you by the adjective to know what spirit he's talking about. But if you don't have the adjective, then you have to use the context. The context of the Scripture will help you to know what spirit is he what word spirit is he trying to describe. Is he trying to describe the Holy Spirit? Every time you read the word spirit, you want to go through your list. Is he talking about the Holy Spirit? Is he talking about the new nature? Is he talking about my inner man? Is he talking about an expression of emotion or a demonic spirit? You want to know that. And what I've done in my Bible is I put a little, if it's the Holy Spirit, I put a line over top of it. If it's my inner man, I put a line beside the S. And if it's my new nature, I put a line under the S. And see, all three are different. They're completely different parts of you. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's God. He is your helper, your teacher. Well, he's completely different than your inner man. The inner man is where you develop and grow in the knowledge of God, in the emotions of God. It must grow and develop. Well, that's completely different than the new nature. The new nature is a seed fully complete already, full of righteousness. It doesn't grow, it doesn't mature, it doesn't hold knowledge. It is a nature of righteousness. So you want to make sure that you have them in your Scripture. What spirit is he talking about when he uses the word spirit? Let's see, how can I show this to you without making you angry at me? Let's start in Romans chapter 8. How about that? We'll go to the easier side of it. Now, in Romans chapter 8, Pastor Dave taught us that in Romans chapter 8, it uses the word spirit many times. And you can see by your Bible that whoever interpreted it and put it down, sometimes when they thought it was the Holy Spirit, they would put a capital S. Now, your job is not to ignore that and do your own homework and find out from context what spirit is he talking about. Because sometimes they get it right, sometimes they get it wrong. And if you get it wrong and you think this is the Holy Spirit's job, then you'll be like me putting soup in a flower pot on the stove because my wife said, put the soup in the pot, and burning and causing a fire and spilling soup all over the place, making a mess. Well, you'll make a mess of your walk with God if you don't get this right. So I'm going to help you. I'm going to give you the answers. I'll give you a cheat sheet today. I don't like to give cheat sheets too much because part of the fun in growing is learning by yourself and knowing yourself. Some people get mad at me. They, well, can't you just tell me what to do? So no, I don't want to tell you what to do because then you'll just do it, but you won't know why you're doing it. You won't have the fight to do it. But when you pray in the Holy Ghost and get to know him, not only will he give you direction on what to do, you'll have the fire in you to make it happen. And you won't quit halfway through. A lot of people follow a preacher's advice, and then when it gets tough, they quit because they were following a preacher's advice. It wasn't from within their own heart, their own inner man, that they were saying, I'm not going to put up with this anymore, and they give up. But when it comes out of you from your relationship with the Holy Spirit, the devil can't chase you away, hell can't chase you away, famine can't chase you away, hardships, prison, nothing can chase you away because it's who you are. That's a better way to walk. That's the way to go. But today I'll give you a little bit of a cheat sheet. In Romans chapter 8, the first mention of the Holy Spirit, and if you want to take your pen, I have a little line above verse 16, chapter 8 of Romans. It says, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So you can underline or put a line above the word spirit in verse 16. And the other place you want to put it is in verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. You can put a line above that word S. That is referring to the Holy Spirit. But now we're going to see the other two descriptions of spirit in these verses, the inner man and the new nature. Okay. Now, before I get into this, let me try to help you in your imagery. So the nature is the smallest part of you, but it's the engine of righteousness. So when I talk about the new nature, it's always about the new nature. The new nature brought to life the inner man. The inner man is your spiritual body that has your spiritual mind and emotions. I would term it as your spiritual soul. Your inner man has a soul that's of God. Your outer man has a soul that's of the earth. And they don't get along. Now, the inner man isn't born complete. It's born like a newborn baby. It has to grow and develop. And what happens is as the new nature, the seed of the new nature, brings forth the fruit of love, joy, peace, and that kind of thing, it begins to mature up the inner man. So the inner man's mind is born again. It's like a new baby, so it has no intellect. It doesn't know how to get there or do things like that. It's empty. You have to fill it up with the Word of God and truth that comes from the Holy Spirit. That's why you need to be praying in tongues, to allow that inner man to develop. See, the new nature doesn't develop. The new nature is complete. It's a seed. It's fully complete, and it's an engine producing righteousness. So in my little mini sermon here, if I were to describe a car, I can point to my car and say, look at that beautiful car there. And you look at it, and that I'm talking about the whole car. So that means inside of that car is a steering wheel, and an engine, and a radio, and air conditioning, and the seats. See, when I talk about the car, I'm talking about the whole car. But if I want to get more specific, inside of that car is an engine. And so whenever I talk about the car as a whole, it includes the engine. Or I can zoom in and say, look at the engine that's running this car. Well, that's when you read scripture, when it talks about your inner man. The inner man is the car. It has the spiritual brain that has to mature. It has the spiritual heart that allows it to grow in the emotions of Christ, love, joy, peace. But it has to grow. But it always includes, when I talk about the inner man, it always includes these things. The inner man includes the mind, emotions, and desires, the soul of the inner man, and the new nature. The new nature is the engine of the car. It's what makes everything run. It produces energy of righteousness when you're born again. Hope that's clear as mud for you. So read it in Romans 8. We're going to look at the word spirit. And we're going to give you a cheat sheet if he's talking about the new nature, the inner man, or the Holy Spirit. And some of these are only going to be found in context. Let's start in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So if you're born again, who do not walk according to the flesh, okay? That word flesh can mean the nature of sin, or it can mean the soul within the outward body, the appetites. You know, you're in the flesh. You're thinking out of your flesh. You're thinking out of the outward man. The body itself is just a body. The body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, but in this body is the soul, the natural soul, mind, will, and emotions. That's left over. That's who's going to fall off of me one day. Now, Romans 8:1, there's therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh. That's talking about your old nature of sin. You're not walking according to the flesh because it's no longer there. That flesh was quickened into a new nature. And so you never have two natures in the same body at the same time. Okay? It's impossible because the new nature came from quickening the old nature. So you don't have a nature of sin in the flesh and a nature of righteousness in the spirit. No, you only have one nature, and it's in your inner man. If you die, whatever nature you have when you die, that's where you go. If you have a nature of darkness, you won't be happy. If you have a nature of light, you go to heaven. So the comparison here is the flesh, the nature of sin versus the nature of righteousness. The nature of righteousness is a quickened nature of sin. So I like to use a terminology that he took out your nature of sin out of you and replace it with a nature of righteousness because we see that better. But really it's a miracle of light coming out of darkness, that he took that dark nature of sin and quickened it and turned it into righteousness. Okay? So he's saying here, now we're no longer, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. We're no longer trapped, chained to sin anymore. We no longer are a victim of our past, because what made us chained, what chained us to that past was a nature of sin, the flesh. And God got rid of it and quickened it and gave you a new nature of righteousness. Now that you are chained to righteousness. So you're no longer condemned to be a sinner anymore. You're no longer condemned to be a victim anymore. You're not a victim when you're born again. Rise up. You're above that. So that word spirit in verse 1 is talking about the new nature. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, the old nature, but according to the Spirit, the new nature. Now, if you're born again, you no longer have an old nature of sin. So this is not saying the flesh here as the outward man and the spirit as your inner man. That if you walk according to the flesh today, you're condemned to sin. No, this is talking about the nature of sin versus the nature of righteousness. So that spirit is, I got a little underline under that S. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. So that Spirit of life, that new nature, sets you free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, that is, the nature of sin, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. So Jesus was born where he looked like every other human, but he wasn't. He had a nature of righteousness. On account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. So there's that word flesh again. That is talking about how when he died and went to hell, that he became sin. He received kind of like a nature of sin. He became like we were. So you can underline those fleshes with a little F, a little underline, because that's talking about the nature of sin. Not the outward man, not a bad day, not a bad hair day. It's talking about the nature of sin. That the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh. Underline that word flesh. That's a nature. But walk according to the Spirit. Now, in my Bible here, it is a capital S, but I'm underlining it with a because it's supposed to mean the new nature. And those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. This is describing a Christian and a religious person who's not saved. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So you can underline that those who are in the flesh, meaning not born again, cannot please God. It doesn't matter if you're not born again. You can be as religious as you want. You can do all the feasts and do everything right, and you're still not going to qualify for heaven. You can't please God because you're not born again. But you're not in the flesh. You no longer have a nature of sin. But in the spirit, this is a small s. This is the new nature. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you, now if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. So all of these s's up till verse 9 is talking about the nature of Christ, the new nature, versus the nature of sin. Unsaved religious person versus a born-again believer. I'm going to turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 really quick. In verse 18, this is a comparison here. But we all with unveiled face, beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. So you can cross-reference these first 9 verses with 2 Corinthians 3:18, talking about the Spirit of the Lord, the nature of Christ in us, the image of Christ that's in us. That's what we're being transformed into. We're taking that image of Christ that's in the new nature, and we're bringing it forward, and we're beginning to transform our life to live out of that inner man that's been rebuilt, renewed by the new nature. That's where we live, and we quit living out of the outward man. So chapter 8, 1 through 9 is talking about the small s, underline s, the nature. Now we'll get into a hard verse, but not that hard, but it's a hard verse. Verse 10, because he changes here. He uses the word spirit, but now he's talking about the inner man. Okay? Now remember, the inner man always contains the nature, just like a car always has an engine. The inner man, if you talk about the inner man, it's always talking about the nature. If you're talking about the spirit, the inner man is also including the spirit, the new nature. Verse 10, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. Now this is a loaded verse because it talks about the new nature and it uses all kinds of terminology that describe the new nature. If Christ is in you, see, if you have Christ in you, you don't have a little Jesus. You have a new nature in you. So if the new nature is in you, the body, the outward body, is dead because of sin. So the outward man was left in sin. The outward man with its mind, emotions, and desires, and the soul of the outward man was left in the condition that God found it. But the inner man was born again and came to life. Now the inner man is alive and can hold the truth of Christ. It can understand God. It can also, the emotions of Jesus, the love of God, is developed in the inner man. So there's a comparison here in verse 10. In fact, I'm going to slow down and just focus on this, because once you see this, it unlocks a lot of Romans 8. Let's look over, we'll come back to Romans 8, 10, and we're going to go back over to 2 Corinthians, this time chapter 4, verse 16. That's the verse we started with. Therefore, we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. So that is the outward man, which is perishing, and the inner man, which is being renewed. And he goes on to talk about the outward man falling off of us, or in the sound when the trumpet sounds, we get a new outward man. So the outward man, he's not trying to renew the outward man. He's not trying to fix the knowledge of the outward man. The outward man's of this earth. It's left in sin. It's dumb as a rock when it comes to understanding Scripture. The inner man is the part of you that's been born of God. So you have an inner man that can hold the truth of God, the knowledge of God. You have a spiritual mind that is in the same class of what Jesus had when he was on the earth. The ability to know God as a father. The ability to know, hold the knowledge of truth where the outward man can't. So we do not lose heart, even though the outward man is perishing, the inner man is being renewed day by day. So that is a comparison between the outward man and the inward man. I'll give you one more. If you don't understand it all, if I'm going too fast, forgive me. I'm going to keep going. And as you learn this, it all makes sense. It's very clear once you see it. There's centuries and centuries of religious mud on top of this revelation. And that's why it's sometimes hard to see at first, because we got to remove all that mud, all that wrong teaching off of it, so you can really see it. But once you see it, it's the key to all of Paul's writings. It just opens up so much when you see this picture. And it's my job to get it across to you. You don't have to accept it. It's my job to try to teach it so you can see it. But I'll give you one more comparison here in the same category of the inner man and outward man fight. And I heard a preacher say on the internet, he said, you know, that the work of the Holy Spirit, everyone wants the gifts of the Holy Spirit, but we're supposed to have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Well, see, that was him cooking soup with the flower pot. That might be the title of the message. Don't cook soup in a flower pot. Because the fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit of that new nature coming forward into your inner man. But chapter 5, Galatians 5, real quick, and then we'll go back to Romans 8. Chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So here's our two key words, flesh and spirit. So we need to do some detective work. Ask your wife, please describe what you want me to understand exactly so I don't mess it up. We need some preachers learning to listen to their wives. I say then, walk in the Spirit. Now, is that the Holy Spirit? There's a group of people that they live their life obeying the Holy. I just listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit, and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And you find those guys who pray for the sick, living in sin behind the scenes sometimes. So we know that's not what it means. But we also know when he talks about the word spirit and flesh in the same verse, he cannot be comparing at the same time a fight between the new nature and the old nature. I say then, walk in the Spirit, you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. This is a tug of war. The flesh against the Spirit. So just by that, I know it can't be the nature of sin, the flesh, fighting the nature of righteousness, Spirit, because they don't coexist in the same time. Either you have a nature of sin, you have a flesh nature, or you have a nature of righteousness, because the nature of righteousness came from a quickened nature of sin. So you can't have both at the same time. So what he is comparing is the inner man fighting against the outward man. Your outward man was not saved, but your inner man was. So now your inner man is going to start picking a fight with the outward man, and the outward man's soul is going to start picking a fight with the inner man's soul. And they're going to try to each to tell you how to live, and they're both trying to tell you how to follow God. That is the fight of a believer. We grow up the inner man, and we diminish the outward man. And verse 10 contains all this stuff in one verse. It's the scripture is amazing. Oh, so amazing. And listen, keep praying in tongues. Let the Holy Spirit teach you things. So much shallow teaching out there. I'm embarrassed sometimes. I listen to some people, just a little clip. People send me, have you heard this preacher? Have you heard this preacher? Have you read this book? And I'm so tired of listening to people for a little bit. And everyone says nice stuff, but it's so shallow out there in our Christian world. Some of the most popular preachers are the shallowest. They got great one-liners, but they don't even, it has no meat to it, no strength to it. And this one verse, he paints in a beautiful picture in just one verse. And if you can just interpret it right. And if Christ is in you, so that is talking about your new nature. Okay, if Christ is in you, you have a new nature in you. The body is dead. That's the outward man. The outward body, it always contains the soul of the body, the mind, will, and emotions. Okay, so the body itself, the skin and the bones, your hair, your toes, your teeth, that is the temple of God. But within that body is a soul, a mind, will, and emotions. And we're going to get into that in the next number of lessons. And it's really, really powerful when you see it. The outward man's soul. And see, it was not rescued. It was not fixed. Christ came into your inner man and brought your inner man to life. But it left your outward body with its soul in sin. It's still in darkness. It was not fixed. It won't be fixed until it's replaced. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, God, if you're on the earth, God will take this body and quicken it, turn it into a body of righteousness with an outward soul that is righteous, no more fighting, no more desire for sin. So verse 10, Romans 8, for time's sake, I'm going to touch it today and we'll continue in the next lesson. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin. So the outward man is left in darkness, stained with sin, is not fixable. But the spirit, now this word spirit is being compared with the body. Okay, so that is a great picture of 2 Corinthians 4:16, inner man and outward man. The spirit here, I have a line beside it because he's talking about the inward man. See, if Christ is in you, that means if you have the nature of Christ in you, the body is dead, but the spirit is life, or I would say the spirit is alive because of righteousness. Righteousness is another nickname of the new nature. So because you have Christ in you, the new nature in you, the inward man was brought to life, but the outward man was left in darkness. So that word spirit in verse 10 switches from verse 9, where verse 9 is talking about the nature of Christ. Verse 10 is talking about the inner body. The inner body, the inner man, the new man, it always contains that engine in it of a new nature. So whenever he's talking about the spirit, the inner body, the inner man always contains the new nature. The difference is the new nature is complete, but the inner body must develop and grow and mature. And so he is comparing these two, the two bodies, the inner body and the outward body. And if Christ is in you, if you have Jesus in you, the new nature in you, the body is dead. It's left in death because of sin. It's been stained with sin. It still desires sin. But in comparison, now you have an inner man, a spirit, an inner man is alive, is life, because it has the new nature in it. It has brought it to life. Now you have a chance to win. I'm going to pause there for today. Wonderful time to teach with you. I hope I'm clear as mud and you're catching some of this. And as you do, the Holy Spirit's taking me years and years and years to teach this to me and unravel some of my old thinking. So I don't be disheartened if you don't get it the first try. But just keep learning it. You'll see it. You'll see it. The Holy Spirit will show it to you. Until you do, be patient. Keep learning. Keep growing. But you have an inner man that's been born again. You have a new nature. Praise God you're going to heaven, but also you can make a difference on this earth. Keep praying in tongues. I love you. Thanks for spending time with me. We'll see you soon.